KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a partly cloudy sky. It's 31 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy to cloudy today, a high around 45. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Dish Network satellite system dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. Police in Creston said today a man from Adair County was arrested early Sunday morning for OWI first offense and possession of a controlled substance second offense. 26-year-old Dakota Galden of Orient was later released from the Union County Jail on a $1,000 bond. Also arrested early Sunday morning was 32-year-old Paul Daniels of Creston. He was charged with public intoxication second offense and also later released on a $1,000 bond. One person was arrested in Creston last Friday at around 11:30 p.m. 31-year-old Tashina Martwick of Creston was arrested for domestic abuse, simple assault. She was later released on a promise to appear in court. And a Creston resident reported to police early Friday morning that sometime between midnight and 2:30 a.m. Friday, someone stole cash from a vehicle parked at her residence. The loss was estimated at $140. The Adams County Sheriff's Office reports this morning a Villisca man was arrested following a traffic stop at around 6:20 this morning. 30-year-old Justin Donchesky of Villisca was charged with having a barred driver's license in Iowa, and he was being held on a $2,000 cash bond. An Iowa man who was working for an Omaha street crew when he was hit by a car earlier this week has died. Or earlier last week, I should say, 48-year-old Salvatore Fidone III of Council Bluffs died Friday at Nebraska Medical Center from injuries he suffered when he was hit by a car last Monday in southwest Omaha. Fidone was standing on the driver's side of a city truck as he and others had prepared to fill potholes when a car driven by a 53-year-old Omaha man drifted from a northbound lane and struck him. No charges have been filed in the case, and the crash remains under investigation. Police in Creston cited the driver of a car following a collision that took place Friday afternoon at the intersection of Sumner and Adams Streets. Authorities say 48-year-old Scott Allen Geary of Creston was cited for following too closely after his car rear-ended a 2004 Dodge pickup driven by 30-year-old Colby Lenhart of Bedford. The accident happened just before 2 p.m. Friday as Lenhart was stopped at the red light. Officials say Geary seemed fatigued and didn't seem to know what happened following the collision. Damage from the accident amounted to $4,300. There were no injuries reported. A Sioux City man has been charged after police say he stole a skid loader in an attempt to free a stolen pickup truck that was stuck on the railroad tracks. The incident happened last Thursday when police say 36-year-old Nicholas Shannon Penny drove the stolen truck over the tracks and became stuck. Police say Penny then walked to a nearby Bobcat dealership and stole one of the dealership's skid loaders. He damaged the fence when he drove the skid loader through it and damaged the loader's door, causing about $3,000 in damage. Penny remained held in the Woodbury County Jail over the weekend on theft, burglary, and criminal mischief charges. Western Iowa officials say a Nebraska man was arrested twice in as many days for trying to break into his ex-girlfriend's home. 58-year-old Joseph Penley of Bellevue, Nebraska, was arrested January 17th after Carter Lake police were called about someone trying to break into the home through a window. Officers say they found Penley hiding in the home's garage. He was arrested and released after posting a $300 bond. The next day, police were called to the home where a man reported that Penley had tried to force his way in. They found Penley hiding in the garage next door with a baseball bat. He remained jailed over the weekend. The Historical Society of Pottawatomie County is hoping to see more people in jail, the historic Pottawatomie County Squirrel Cage Jail, that is. The society is working to give the museum the same feel it had when it operated as a regular jail. The three-story building that includes a rotating cell block had been built in 1885 and used as a jail up until 1969. It was bought by the Council Bluffs Park Board in 1971 and named to the National Register of Historic Places the following year. Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office Deputy Jason LeMaster, who serves on the board, is leading the effort to restore the jail. LeMaster says the museum needs light-colored sheets and military-style wool blankets to outfit the cell's bunks, as well as mannequins to represent the inmates. In other news, the Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship is looking for eligible farm owners to apply for this year's Century and Heritage Farm Program. The Iowa Department of Agriculture's program coordinator, Becky Lorenz, says there are a couple of requirements to gain the designation.
They honor folks who have kept their farm of at least 40 acres in the same generational families for 100 years or more.
A ceremony is held at the Iowa State Fair to recognize those who've had the farm for 100 years as century farms, and those who hit 150 years are named heritage farms. Loren says the programs were started in 1976.
Over 19,000 century farm awards have been issued, and we are up to 940 heritage farms.
There were 320 heritage farms and 320 century farms and 103 heritage farms recognized last year. Lorenz has been involved in the program for the last 6 years.
It always amazes me. We always have over 300. Since I've started, we've always had over 300 century farms each year. And now our heritage farms are starting to increase in numbers, too. The last 2 years, we've been over 100 both of those years. So it's a fun program to work with. Just so exciting to share that day with all of the recipients.
She says it's a fun day to share the recognition with the farm owners. Lorenz says applying for the Century and Heritage Farm program is easy.
If they have any questions, you know, some people think it's a hard process to go through, but it is fairly simple to fill out this application. And again, if they have any questions, they can email me or call me.
And the number to email, the website for that Iowa Department of Agriculture is www.iowaagriculture.gov to apply online. Or you can call Lorenz at 515-281-3645. The recognition ceremony this year will be held Thursday, August 17th at the Iowa State Fair in the Pioneer Livestock Pavilion. Iowa Board of Regents President Bruce Rastetter said he would like to see tuition at state universities rise and no faster than the average income of Iowa residents. Rastetter made the remarks Friday during and after his appearance on the Iowa Public Television Iowa Press program. Rastetter says any tuition increase higher than the rise in the average state income would dramatically affect Iowa families' ability to access the public universities. He said that's his personal position, not a board initiative. The board, which oversees state universities, had already agreed to seek a 2% tuition increase next fall if the state's appropriation also rises 2%. And the head of the board of governors Iowa Three Public Universities says the University of Iowa's athletic department may start financing scholarships for students who are not athletes. Board of Regents President Bruce Rastetter said the University of Iowa's president and athletic director are having discussion on that right now.
One of the things that isn't often recognized is that athletic departments do contribute to the university in a significant way. I mean, first of all, they pay scholarship dollars on tuition, room, and board of the university. Second, it becomes a huge fundraising opportunity at the universities to bring alums, donors in that results in significant investment in the university.
But Rastetter says there is a national trend among premier university football and basketball programs to help finance other campus priorities.
There are ways that it can help enhance the student body, lower student fees, scholarship funds beyond that. But at the end of the day, they need to be careful that they not limit their ability to compete by taking too many dollars, and then they won't have the revenue stream to give the dollars.
Rastetter made his comments during the Iowa Press taping program. He says that neither tax dollars nor student tuition money is used to finance the athletic programs in Iowa City, Ames, or Cedar Falls. Ticket sales and contributions from donors are the sources of income for the Iowa and Iowa State athletic departments. The University of Northern Iowa uses some student fees along with ticket sales and donor money to run the Panther athletic department. The news was brought to you by the TV Store, your Dish Network satellite system dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.